You're listening to Real Adventures with Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's time for the Social Club, where we take your questions from social media. If you've got a question for Aaron or I, make sure you shoot it through to us and we'll do our best to get back to you. The first question is from Brett.
First question from you. Can I stop tapping the table with my hand? So I put your jumper in front of me so I can't do it.
We're trying to run.
I apologise.
We're trying to run a professional show and you're belting the table. There's no one at the door to get in, mate.
All right, let's go. Sorry.
Brett McGuinness. Hey, Red. I was out on the weekend targeting kingfish. Yep. I spent 11 hours on the water for a big donut. Ooh. What are your thoughts on targeting kingfish with an easterly wind and also a full moon? Do either of these factors affect the kingfish bite, in your opinion? I hate fishing for kingfish. Can I just add that in before we start?
I hate fishing the full moon.
They're pricks. You spend a huge amount of time on the water.
Yep.
Really understand the conditions, understand the fish. For those that don't spend big hours catching kingfish and want to catch them, they can be one of the biggest pains in the ass to try and catch, because you spend so much time trying to find them. And even if you find them, it's one thing to then boat one. And you often talk about once you hook them, you've actually got to leave it in the water.
To hook more.
But then, you know, you risk losing the fish because you're excited to get it in. You haven't caught one before. You've spent the last three trips with donuts and you want to get one in. So talk to us about full moon and then also that easterly wind.
Yeah, so that easterly wind hasn't played any role in it. It's actually probably my favourite time to chase kingfish. The reason I say that is quite often when we have an easterly wind, or northeasterly wind, say, it's going to be warm weather. So during the summer, we have a lot of easterlies, which is northeasterlies, east-north, northeasterlies, southeasterlies in the afternoon. During the winter, we have a lot of westerlies and southwesterlies, and that's where our cold weather tends to come from as well. So the easterly wind generally also means that we don't get swell as well. We quite often don't have swell on the easterly winds. The swell comes obviously with the southwest wind. That tends to be where our swell always comes from. So that easterly hasn't played a role. We obviously got this message maybe a couple of weeks ago, because we do get a hell of a lot of messages to go through. Now, that full moon is a prick of a moon. They're a shocking time to fish. People will tell you it's the best. I'll give you the tip right now. Any tackle store report that says the full moon's good, tell them to come do the next 10 full moons with me and I'll prove to them and it's not. So it is shocking. It's a shocking time to fish. There is no tidal flow and that is the reason you haven't caught fish. It is just crap. And if you did see people get a few fish, that's fine. A few fish on a full moon isn't a lot of fish off a moon. So you got to be mindful and smart on your moon system. If I had been fishing that day, that 11 hours you did, you've pretty much fished all day, but I would have been smarter on it and I would have smarter about it and I would have targeted that afternoon bite on that bigger outgoing tide. That's what I would have done. You might have done that, but that's how I would have spent my day and hoping to catch something on the full moon.
Tim O'Leary, when trawling lures, how do I know how deep they dive once I've thrown out the box? Cheers, Tim.
Well, if you put a Rapala 20 down, doesn't that mean 20 metres, 20 feet?
It does. Most lures have a marking at whether it be at the front of them or on the bib, or where the lure attaches at the back of the lure, and that'll give you an indication of how far they deep dive down. If they don't, one of the things that always told me to do was literally just to try and inscribe it if there was no marking, just so you get a bit of an idea. And that was more particularly when we fish sort of freshwater environment. So little scribe it underneath the belly of the lure so you've got a bit of an indication. Redmond?
Yeah, you can jump onto Rapala's. They have a fantastic Rapala website and they give you your depth charts with your speed. So it also comes down to your speed that you're traveling at too. You quite often find the slower you go, now this sounds a bit dumb because your lure will pull out of the water when you go really fast, but for instance, if you put that diver just in the water when you're in gear, that diver will just sit under the water doing this pat. It'll just be ticking away at the side of the boat, where if you go faster, it'll pull harder and try and rip down
it'll
deeper.
Grip, yep.
That's right. So the divers depend on the size that you've got. You've obviously got 15s, you've got 10, well, you've got 10s, you've got 15s, 20s, 30s, and you've got your real big ones. So it depends on what size Rapala you're using. But I match my Rapala not necessarily on the depth. You got to remember when you're chasing tuna, quite often when they're feeding a lot of the time when you're going to catch them, they are feeding that top column of the water. So anything from couple of meters down to the top is, well, I'm getting all my fish on surface lures and plastics quite high up. So what I'd be thinking about it is matching that actual diver to the bait in itself. So if I'm off Portland, I'm chasing barrels and I look over the side and there's a heap of red bait that's 25 centimetres long, I'm going to run a slightly, I'm not going to run a size 10 Rapala, I'm going to be going to run a 30. So I'm going to run something bigger again. So it depends on where you're fishing, what the bait size is, and what actual species you're targeting on itself. Next question is from Steve B. Danger, you launch off the beach when you fish at home. Do you reduce your air pressure in your tyres each time you launch and retrieve?
Never, to be totally honest with you. No.
That one time when you rang me at Aries car park when I was there getting coffee, is abusing me because you were stuck.
Get in. Well, we all have that story of when you oh, no, I've got I always say, couple. Like Dad and I always talk about, we're not going to launch on an incoming tide. We're not going to launch on a really high incoming tide. And then when the day's perfect and it's like, you know, we'll just risk it, it'll be fine. And then you get stuck and you've got a high incoming tide and not much beach to work with. You end up cursing yourself. But traditionally, no. We've got tracks in the back of our car. Once again, we've done a...
Maxi tracks.
Yep. Yeah, we've done a Reds review on this and you can catch all of our Real Adventures episodes and the breakdown of our different segments on our Real Adventures app. Or wherever you get your podcasts, rather. So I've been more inclined to do that. It's really important now when with new cars that you turn off your traction control. That can be a bit of a stumbling block. Yeah, that people think I'll just turn my four wheel drive into four wheel drive and yep, away we go, no worries, and I'll be fine to launch off the beach that way. So there's a little bit to it, but I haven't been one to really reduce the air pressure because we know the conditions pretty well.
Why can't you launch on a high tide for those that are listening at home?
We just have so little beach room for where I launch. It's about Creek. If you've got beach room, then you're sweet. But literally, the water will run into the cliffs or you know the car park. So we don't have any room. We have to go straight into really really not dry sand, but it's
soft.
It's really boggy and soft. Yeah, so that's why we've always been really reticent to sort of do it that way. Peter Carver, boys, what's the best way to rig live squid for kingfish?
Yeah, good question, because it is one of the best baits you can get. One of the best baits you can use to catch kingfish. And you got two types of squid, Pat, as we know. You got the calamari and the arrow squid. The arrow squid's your offshore squid. It tends to be. You get the odd ones in the bay. For instance, if you're out chasing, off Marlow, for instance, you're probably not going to catch your calamari. You're going to more catch your arrow squid. Where if you're inside the inside Port Phillip Bay, going to target the rip, you're going to catch your calamari. And how you rig them up is I like to rig them up with a snelled rig and set my live bait to the size squid I'm going to catch. My hooks to the size squid I'm going to catch. Now, what I mean by that is I've run in my, say, 9-0 live bait gamma hook at the top, and same as this rig is a snapper. I run them quite long so it's away from the swivel, probably 1.2 to 1.6, depending on, but you've got to remember when you get that fish up to the boat, it's hard to get the net or gaff into them because they are a distance away from that swivel.
Yep.
So that's why I do like to run it further so it has a more natural swim in the water. And you're pinning the snelled hook, so the snelled hook is your top hook, you're pinning that through the top of the hood, so right through the top. And your second hook, which you've sort of set approximately for the size of the squid that you're going to catch, will go just, you can put it into the head if you really want to, but I often go on the inside body, so not on the top of the squid underneath, and I go just basically where its shooter is, where it shoots its ink out of, just on the outside of that, through once and back out through the other side, so it's exposed. And I have one hook facing north, I guess, and one hook facing south if you're holding the squid flat on a bait board. And that's how, one sits one way, one sits the other way, and at the quite often you'll have it. Quite often they will eat the squid. You'll be hooked on the top hook anyway because they'll eat the whole thing in one hit. And like I said, the key to it is when you do your snelled rig, make sure that I run three rods at the top, always rigged, because sometimes I've got a squid, say, the long as your forearm there, then I might have one same size as your hand, and they all have different sizes on them. If I know that I'm in Port Phillip Bay and going to the island and I'm going to be catching smaller squid, I then tend to just run smaller rigs. But if you are running your bigger squids, which kingfish will eat a big squid. So that there is pretty much your tip on rigging up some live squid, Patrick.
And that wraps up the social club. If you've got a question for Aaron or I, make sure you shoot it into our Real Adventures social pages, or better yet, download our Real Adventures app.